again. For this presentation, we'll be looking at zinc weathering from the surface of a galvanized power tower and translocating to the soils directly beneath the power tower, and also translocating via a wind deposition, or seeing what the translocations are via wind deposition following the prevailing wind. So the objectives of this study were to quantify the total and the bioavailable zinc along the transect of this power line tower, and determine the zinc distribution pattern as well as the mobility following the transect of the prevailing wind, which in this case was from the northwest to the southeast, and to compare the zinc concentrations that we found with known toxic zinc concentrations in the soil and plants, and then finally to determine the rate of zinc accumulation weathering from the power tower into the soil. Zinc is an element that's essential for both plant and animal life. It serves as a cofactor for enzyme and protein formation. Natural sources of zinc include the minerals franklinite, smithsonite, and willemite. Anthropogenic sources of zinc include both zinc smelters and galvanized objects. While zinc smelters potentially represent the single greatest point source of zinc contamination, galvanized objects do represent a more ubiquitous form of zinc contamination along the American landscape. And just for representative numbers, for soils, average zinc levels are range between 17 and 160 parts per million. There are two predominantly available forms of zinc in the soil, horizons and the soil water. The zinc 2 plus form is the available form that is generally present in soils with pHs below 7.7, while the zinc hydroxide form is available in soils with pHs greater than 7.7. The zinc 2 plus form is generally known to be the more immobile form of zinc in the soil, while the zinc hydroxide form is generally referred to as the more mobile form of zinc in the soil. Plant toxicity levels of soil zinc are found generally greater than 200 parts per million. However, this value there's quite a variable in this value depending upon the soil type and depending upon the plant species. The US EPA soil screening level, that is the level at which the US EPA determines that they will go in and remediate a site, they set that at 23,000 parts per million, which is fairly high compared to most other heavy metals. So the galvanization process is a process by which iron substrates are coated with a very thin layer of zinc. The zinc acts as a protection or a protectant against corrosion when subjected to atmospheric weather conditions. And so the theory is that the zinc will naturally oxidize on the surface of these structures and weather and translocate into the soils around these structures. And we have found very few studies that quantify the actual amount and levels of zinc weathering from these structures. The soil that we sampled was a clay soil that was dominated with smectites in the clay mineralogy fraction. And of the smectites, montmorillonite was the predominant mineralogy of the clay mineral fraction. These soils are generally, or were determined to have a slightly acidic pH of around 6.5, 6.7. The textures again were clay and the soil organic carbon was fairly high. All this leads to a fairly high CEC. And we determined that the control total soil zinc level to be 46 or around 47 parts per million. This is the site that we sampled at. The blue line represents the direction of prevailing wind. The yellow box represents the galvanized structure that we sampled from. We both, again, sampled in upwind, that is the northwest, and downwind, which is the southeast of the power tower. The red sampling locations indicate where we took both soil and plant samples, and the black sites represent where we only took a soil sample. So for this study, total and bioavailable zinc will be operationally defined. Total zinc is defined using the US EPA method 3050A, which was a one-to-one nitric acid digestion. Bioavailable zinc was determined using US EPA method 1311 TCLP extraction, which stands for toxicity characteristic leach procedure, which is a procedure used to emulate landfill leachate and is a common form of measurement of bioavailable metals. And finally, All levels of zinc were determined by using atomic absorption spectrophotometry. These are the values that we determined for total soil zinc. The blue represents upwind of the power tower, and the red represents downwind of the power tower. And then the black hashed line represents the control soil zinc. For our study, we found that the total soil zinc was only higher than the control directly underneath the power tower, and there was really no differences upwind and downwind of the power tower in either direction away from the power tower. The same trend was found for total plant zinc. Again, it was highest and greater than the control directly underneath the power tower, and there wasn't really any significant differences as we move other upwind or downwind of the power tower. So our conclusions based upon this preliminary data was that translocations of zinc from the tower actually are occurring. And if we use a rough calculation based on the fact that this power tower was installed in 1985, we conclude that around 10 or 11 parts per million zinc is translocating from the tower and moving into the soils beneath the tower. Our bioavailable zinc levels were only determined or only greater than our method detection limit directly underneath the power tower, which was determined to be around 40 parts per million zinc. A possible explanation for only having bioavailable zinc determined directly underneath the power tower and not either way would be that there is a known strong sorption reactions of zinc specifically to montmorillonite. What we could be happening here is that there's an actual sorption of zinc to montmorillonite in these soils that result in a depressed amount of zinc in the bioavailable form. That is in the attached or exchange on the cation exchange capacity or cation exchange sites or available in the soil solution itself. And if we look through the soil profile with depth, again, we stated that we did find elevated levels of zinc in the surface of the soil that is directly underneath the power tower. And that was around 294 parts per million zinc. And then if we move down to the 10 to 20 centimeter profile or depth of the profile, we found that there was indeed elevated zinc at that profile level relative to the control zinc at the surface. In the subsurface, we found around 69 parts per million zinc, and again, the control in the surface was around 47 parts per million zinc. So we are seeing some movement of zinc through the soil profile. And like I said before, the pHs of these soils was determined to be slightly acidic, around 6.7. And in this pH level, we would think that or the zinc 2+ form would be the predominantly most available form of zinc, which is relatively immobile. So a possible reason for the mobility that we found would be the zinc sorbing to the montmorillonite particles and then moving through the alluviation of these clays through the soil profile, resulting in an overall movement or translocation of zinc through the soil profile. So in conclusions, the weathering of the zinc from the tower into the soil is indeed occurring, and it is actually weathering and translocating through the soil profile. The contamination risk for this particular site is relatively low. As we stated that the US EPA SSL levels was 32,000 parts per million, and all of our values that we found were way below this level. In addition to this, there was no real plant toxicity symptoms that we saw. All the plants generally tended to have a very, very lush green color and tended to be very healthy. However, potential contamination from galvanized structures is still a possibility in a couple of scenarios. These scenarios would include higher density of galvanized structures. An example of this would be a power transfer station where you have a large density of very large galvanized structures. Another couple of scenarios would be soils with other mineralogies, that is with clay mineralogies other than montmorillonite or smectites in general. Soils with higher pHs, again at pH greater than 7.7 we would have the zinc hydroxide, which is another more available and movable form of zinc in the soil solution. and soils with higher sand contents. All these scenarios would potentially lead to a greater contamination risk. And these are my fellow researchers that we all determine these levels for. So, are there any questions? Yes, sir. The question was that on the slide that showed the sampling site, we did indeed sample 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100 meters, both upwind and downwind. But then the slides that I showed with the comparison of the values that we found showed only averages of upwind and downwind. What we did, I do have slides of the individual point data, but for the sake of brevity, I didn't include that in my slideshow. What we saw were averages of the actual data for each individual site. So we took each site that we sampled and we analyzed that and found the levels of zinc from those specific sites. And then what I did is I took an average of those values and we didn't mix the sites altogether. And this is what it looked like with the distribution away from the power line tower with distance. The circled bar is indeed a contamination site. Other than the zinc tower, there was debris on the site, so we didn't include that in our values, but that's what it looked like. Yes, sir. For the first question, whether or not replicates were taken of multiple power towers, we did not replicate the multiple power towers. We did have replications of each of our sampling location, but not different power towers. And then for the second question, which was in relation underneath the power tower directly, whether we took samples or the samples that we have here are representative of soils directly touching the power tower. And we didn't sample the soil directly touching the power tower itself. The samples underneath the power tower, we took kind of a randomized collection of soil samples at various distances from the actual structural base. And that's what was represented in this site. At that 100 meter site here that we show you here, which was contamination not from the power tower, but from some other source, this was where metal was directly laying on the ground. And you can see the level here is quite high as well. So I think there might be specific, more centrally located increases in zinc directly touching the power tower with those soil there.
I think you listed that the soil series that you sampled was burnt salt.
Indeed, yeah. Quite possibly. I don't have any data or any information of standard procedures in installing those power towers, so I can't give you a really good answer for that. Visually, there wasn't any sort of change in the plant community directly underneath the power tower, as like aside from it and going up the hills. Yeah, so. Indeed.
Which I presume that they don't want an unstable surface like that. But then you offered the hypothesis that it's colloid facilitated transport of zinc in the subsoil. If the site's cracking, it could simply be this material rolling in and falling into the cracks in which the subsoil is slightly.
Yeah, indeed, that could be a possibility. If that were the case, it seems like the samples that we found in the subsoil would be more close to the samples that we found in the subsoil in the subsurface soil, but there was around 200 or so parts per million difference. So that indicates to me that that might not be as of a strong of a corollary there, but you know, for absolute certainty, it's not sure. Yeah, the predominantly land use of the area is pasture land and rangeland for cattle. So you'd have to assume that the cattle would be eating the grass that had the contamination of zinc in it in order for them to experience some sort of toxicity levels. But the baseline considered from the US EPA, like their soil screening levels, which is the level we have to actually ingest the soil, was determined to be like 32,000 parts per million, and the highest level that we found was around 290 parts per million. So that's such a dramatically lower than the level that US EPA has submitted that it seems like it isn't a problem and won't be a problem for a long time. It can corrode through the zinc oxide form. The specific chemical composition of that oxide, I'm not quite so sure.
And then how does the zinc oxide get up above ground?
So originally with the reduced zinc, there's a stronger bonds between the zinc metal itself when it's initially applied to the structure in the galvanization process. And it's the same thing as iron rusting to hematite or some other oxide of iron. There's a weakening of the structural integrity of the metal itself, and that causes flaking. And we get some pretty high winds here, average between around 10 miles an hour, but we had some this past week upwards of 30 miles an hour, and that sort of pressure would dislodge some of these metal flakings from the tower. Indeed. That could happen. Being a vertisol, there's some cracks that could form. I correlated it being the colloids predominantly because we found a depressed amount of bioavailable zinc with a relatively high level of total zinc. So there is pretty strong evidence by its researcher Karen Thanasis showing that there is a relatively high sorption reactions happening specifically towards montmorillonite. And the two pieces of evidence together just kind of led me to the conclusion that that's a possibility of it happening. Whether or not it is the definitive method of zinc translocating into the subsoil, I did not study that specific mechanism. Sure. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it has to be in the ionic form, zinc hydroxide, or the zinc 2+ form, in order to for the dentate of that acetic acid to grab onto it. I believe that the oxygen molecules would form a stronger bond than the acetic acid could form, but that's just from thinking about the chemical structure. I don't really have anything to substantiate that claim. Mm-hmm.